Okay, it's good to be here. Used to be a time whenever we could come to church and just, it was just good enough to know the Lord. It was just good enough to know Jesus Christ. It was just good enough just to be saved. But now we have to, it seems like, you know, now we have to have all this stuff in order to attract people to come to church. To get them in, and I'm not for that stuff. I'm real old-fashioned. I grew up in the mountains. I watch the old-fashioned ways. I've got that ingrained in me. I don't want to lose it. I want to keep that for as long as I'm around, and I want God to be able to use that because I think those things are important. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need to change. There's no doubt we need to change some things in our lives, no doubt. And we need to improve some things in our churches. I'm not going to argue with that. There's no doubt about that. But to get away from the reason that we are here is just absolutely wrong. And we are all here tonight because of Jesus Christ. I've been able to come here for a long time now. And boy, I'm glad I have. I've seen you folks grow and improve. The church just looks great. Just everything looks great. And you know what's good about coming here is every time I come, there's something improved on. There's always something changed. There's always something, you know, a little bit better. And that's a real blessing. It's a testament to your church. And I'm glad that you folks are willing to do those things. It's a real blessing. And now over the years, what you've done is you've experienced some things. It's not that you have great experience. We've all got some kind of experience. But now over the years, you have experienced some things. We have all experienced some things. We've been saved for a while. I mean, I've been saved for a long time. Most of you, I'm sure, you've probably been saved for a long time. And thank God you have. I'm glad that I've been saved. I'm glad I got saved when I did. And I'm glad I've got some experience over the years. And so now, each one of us, we have a unique experience. We may not have gotten saved in the same way or at the same, you know, church or, you know, maybe in the church house, maybe somebody got saved in the car, or listened to the radio, or up on the mountain, or who knows where it was. Maybe your brother led you to the Lord, or maybe your mom or dad did, who knows what it is. But each one of us have a unique experience in the Lord. But we all have the same experience if you're saved. Jesus Christ saved us all the same way. You're either saved the way the Bible says, or you're not saved. Now, I'm not really into this truly saved. You're either saved or you ain't. I mean, you're either in or you're not. One way or the other, you trusted Jesus Christ, you turned from your sin to Him, and that's all there is to it. And if you didn't get in that way, you ain't going to get in. And I heard a great old preacher one time, he said, if you're working your way to heaven, you ain't going. And that is absolutely the truth. If you're trying to get yourself there, you're not going to get there. Because Jesus Christ, you see, He's the one that got us there. Now, that's good enough for me. I don't need to add anything to that. That's good enough for me. Now, I've experienced that. I remember one time I went to my grandmother's house. Now, she's just a little old lady, you know. She was barely 5 feet tall. And I remember one time she told me, she said, I'm going to pray for you. Whenever I was real little, we went to Emmanuel Baptist Church up in Clyde. And we were walking out the door one Sunday. And I was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7, something like that. And she looked at Brother Ferguson. He was our pastor. And she looked at him and she said, Brother Ferguson, she said, you know, the Lord really does love fat preachers. And I'm going to pray that God would call my grandson to preach. And boy, I'm telling you, the Lord answered that prayer, didn't He? That does not mean I'm a fat preacher, okay? It just means I've been called to preach. That's all that means. I went over to visit with her, you know, one time, and I went to visit with her a lot, but I was over there and she asked me, she said, now, Michael, she said, now, whenever, it's okay for her to call me Michael, but I'd just assume you didn't, if it'd be all right with you. I don't even like that name, but I was sitting there with her, you know, and she asked me, she said, now, Michael, she said, Nancy, that was her sister, she said, now, whenever she got saved, she went down to the altar, you know, and she got up, and she just walked back to her seat, and she said she didn't shout or anything, you know, she didn't get excited, there wasn't anything real good, it seemed like, coming off of her, you know, and she said, you reckon she's saved? And I said, well, why do you say that? And she said, well, whenever I got saved, she said, whenever I got saved, she said, I got up and I just stood there and I said, woo! So I said, Mama, I said, you reckon that shout makes you any more saved than she does? And she said, well, I don't think it really does. But I was pretty excited, you know, and it looked to me like if she got saved, she'd be excited too, you know. Now, I think it's good to be excited in church, don't you? But now let's be excited for the right reason. Let's be excited not because somebody sung a great song, but because Jesus Christ died for us. Let's not be excited because somebody preached a great sermon. Let's be excited because of the one they ought to be preaching about. Amen. Now, I like getting excited in church, and I like to shout. I like loud stuff in church. But let's not forget the reason we're here. Let's concentrate on Jesus Christ. There was a time in our lives, I believe, there was a time in our churches and our country, and I'm not real big on the patriotism thing or anything like that, and I don't mean to offend you if you are, but there was a time in our country when God was important. There was a time in our churches when Jesus Christ had the preeminence, and I'm not real sure anymore if that is the case. I mean, whenever folks go to church nowadays, and it's good to look your best, and it's good to do your best, but it seems like whenever folks go to church nowadays, that's all they're interested in, and they're not interested in getting closer to Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, if you're here for any other reason tonight than that right there, you're here for the wrong reason. If you're here so you can glad hand everybody, or you can shake somebody's hand, or you're just here for the meal, or anything like that, Brother David, he told me, he said, we're going to have food after you preach. I thought that was probably a pretty good idea. We could have intermission, then I could preach some more, you know. I mean, I hadn't preached a whole lot, you know, in the past year. And I mean, I might have 3 hours in me. I don't know. Maybe an hour and a half anyway. I got to preach Wednesday night before we left, and we was coming down here, and Karen said, oh, I'm so glad you get to preach. She said, I think it'll be good for you. It'll kind of spark you up a little bit, you know. And we got out of church at 9:15, and she said, you sparked a little bit too much. So, I don't know. And then I said, but what time did we start? You know, I mean, it was pretty late when we got started. So, I was feeling it that night, and I just went on with it. And God was good, so there we go. I like good pulpits, don't you? Oh, you're not going to like it if you ain't a preacher, but I like them. I mean, being plugged into a good pulpit is kind of like peeing on electric fence, you know. Just done a little something for you. Brother Jeff, you always like my visuals, so I thought I'd give you one while I was here. Amen. Now let's turn over to Psalm chapter 40 tonight. Psalm chapter 40. I think I know Christ and Him crucified is pretty good. That's pretty good. Psalm chapter 40, and look down at verse 1. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now that's a mouthful right there. He says, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. And now we all ought to be very thankful for that right there. Because He inclined unto us and He heard our cry. He says, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Woo! Man, that's good. Out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He says, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I sure hope that's the case, that somebody can see what God has brought us through and they might see it and fear and trust in the Lord. He says in verse 4, He says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works. Amen. Which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering Thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast Thou opened. May God do that tonight. Burnt offering and sin offering hast Thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Amen. Thank you so much for standing during the reading of God's Word. Now look down in verse 2. He says, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. My old pastor, he used to quote that verse all the time. I got to go around with him a few times whenever he was preaching revivals. And man, he'd get up and he'd get excited and he'd start quoting Psalm chapter 40 verses 1 to 4. And boy, he could click it off just like that. And I'll never forget the look in his eyes as he was quoting those verses right there. It was personal to him. And this is a very personal psalm. Whenever you've gone through something, the psalms are a good place to go. Whenever you've been in trouble, the psalms are a great place to go because you can see that God has delivered us from something. Today I went up there to Thomasville. I was walking around that, there's a park up there Brother David took me to last night. And I was walking around that park and there were some Jehovah's Witnesses set up there and they had their little, you know, this little stand and they didn't say nothing, you know. And as I went by them, you know, I was kind to them. I said, good morning, you know, and they said, good morning. And I thought, well, surely they're going to say, jump out and say, you know, here, I've got the good news, you know, and they didn't say anything. They just sat there and they had their, you know, the little shirt in their little town, you know, and I thought, well, they're all dressed up, no place to go. And here I got on down the curve down there, and there was a Ford, you know, a Lincoln Continental, one of them old ones, you know, back in the 80s, and there was a little old black woman sitting in that car, and I could hear her before I got there, and she was saying, Lord, give us deliverance. Oh, God, we need deliverance in this country. Oh, God, touch us today. Deliver us, oh, God. I said, amen. Amen. We need some deliverance in this country. Now, to me, there was a stark contrast between what was in that car and those fellows that were sitting there on the side of that road and they didn't have nothing to offer anybody. I'll tell you and I, we've got something to offer somebody. Big contrast. You and I, we've seen some triumphs in our past. David saw some victories in his past. He saw that God delivered him from some great things in his past. And thank God that He did. You and I, we've seen God move in our lives. We've seen God deliver us from things in our past. We've had some victories. But we've also had some troubles. Now look, God didn't give us some kind of a promise, say, if you get saved, then whenever you get saved, I'm going to make everything rosy and everything's going to be good. And the only time you have to show up for church or the only time you have to worship me is whenever I do something good for you. God deserves our worship no matter what. I mean, God's good when He's given. And God's good when He's taken away. Everybody loves to go over to Job chapter 1 and they love to get down around verse 21, I think it is. It says, the Lord gave. And boy, we love God's giving. And we love it when God is in a giving mood, don't we? We love it when we go to the Lord and we get down on our hands and knees and we ask for God to give us something and God's in a giving mood and He gives it to us. Don't we love that? But then we get down on into the verse, it says, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. And that's the part we really don't like too much. You know what we want to do? We want to pin all that on the devil. We want to give the devil the credit for taking everything away. And it didn't say that the devil took it away. It said God took it away. But you see, the important part of the whole verse was this right here, is that after all that had gone on, and after Job had buried his children, is that he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, it's not just enough to love God whenever He's in a given mood. It is our duty, our responsibility, and it behooves us that we ought to love God no matter when it is, whether God's given or whether He's taken away. We ought to praise Him just as much whenever He sees fit to reach down and take something from us that He knows is going to hurt us, but in the end it will help us. We ought to praise Him just as much for that. Over about 2 Samuel chapter 18, along in there, David buries a kid. And then you got on about chapter 21, I think it is, there's a famine in the land. And then on even in that chapter, the son of the giant tries to kill David. And I got to looking at that one day and I was saying to myself, you know, troubles come and they just keep on coming and it don't matter what you go through. You bury a kid one day, there's a famine the next day, and then the next day somebody's trying to get rid of you. Look over with me in 2 Samuel chapter 22 though. You see, this is where, to me, real Christianity comes in. 2 Samuel 22, and look down at verse 1. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him." Boy, isn't that something? Isn't that good? Isn't that good when God delivers you from something? He says, "In the day when God delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul." And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." You know what? Whenever you get saved, you don't know that God can do all those things for you. Whenever you first get saved, the first thing you know is that God delivered you from hell. And let me tell you something tonight. I want you to understand this plain. There's a lot of people that go around the country and they say this: the worst thing about hell is being separated from God. I got news for you, folks. The worst things about hell is you're going to be burning. And that is going to be a terrible place to be for all the rest of eternity. I'm tickled to death. I'm not going. I was delivered from that place. You and I, we ought to have a new song in our heart. We ought to have a new step. There ought to be something about us. By God, that we love Jesus a little bit more than we used to. Because we've learned some things about Him. We've learned that God is good. And I'm glad that He is. Amen. I didn't mean to scare you to death if I did. I just get kind of excited about what Jesus has done for me. You see, He took me out of the pit one day. He took me out of the pit and put me on the peak. He saved me. He saved me. He delivered me from hell. But that wasn't the only time that He delivered me. He took me out of the pit of sin and the pit of sorrow, the pit of suffering. And He set me on more peaks in my Christian life as time has gone on. And I have experienced the good hand of my God upon me. And I'm so glad that God is good. A few years ago, I don't know how many years ago it was, Bailey, she said she wanted to go up to Table Rock. It's kind of up above Morganton. And so I said, "Okay, I'm game. Let's give her a shot." So we got in our car one Saturday and we headed out. I'd never been up there. You can see it from the interstate, from I-40 going toward Hickory from Asheville. And you can see this big old rock up there, you know, and you can just look up to your left and there it is. So we said, "Okay, we're going to hike up there." So we got in our car, we followed the signs, and we got on a gravel road. It was 11 miles on a gravel road. I mean, just driving on a gravel road, just in and out and in and out. There was a few turnarounds there. There's a few times, "Oh man, I ain't never going to find this place. Let's just turn around and go back." But we finally got there and we saw the rock off to the right, you know, and we looked at the sign. It said 1 mile. Well, it didn't say that it was 1 mile straight up. I mean, it wasn't just 1 mile. You're not on the walking park, you know. I mean, you don't get out and you just all of a sudden kind of do a little tiptoe around the tulips, you know, and there you are. I mean, man, this was climbing. So about 3 and, it was probably more like 6.5 hours later. I don't know. I can stretch this one out there and make it 8 or 10. I don't know. But man, I'm telling you, we finally got up there and we got up there. We sat down and we were both just, I mean, we couldn't breathe, you know. I mean, the altitude and all the work that we had to do to get up there. Getting to the peak is hard, but man, the view is beautiful. Boy, when we got up there, we could see all down through that valley how that God had painted that valley, how that God had done something. And it's good to see things that God has done and not just things that man has done. You know, a lot of people, Brother David came up one time and he was preaching for me. Or for us, and I don't mean for me, I wasn't paid, you know, that's my little preacher buddy. But I mean, he was up there preaching, and I took him up the mountain, and I thought, you know, he'll enjoy it, you know, and I took him up through there. Well, the higher we got, the peakier he got. So the time we got up there, you know, I mean, I'm used to driving the mountains, you know, I hit a curve, you know, I'll do about 60, 70, you know, and I'm just in and out like this, you know, it don't bother me at all. By the time we got to the top, you know, he was like, so I wanted to take him out to the viaduct. Yeah, I mean, you've seen it up there. It's beautiful, you know, but it's man-made. It seems like everybody wants to see what man's made instead of look at what God's done. Man, I'm telling you, what God does is a whole lot better than what man does. Man in his wisdom is sure, you know, we just don't quite stack up to the wisdom of God. I mean, God can make a maple leaf And it's got veins running all through that thing. And we just see them fall, you know, in the fall of the year, and they land on the ground. We don't think nothing of them. They change colors up in the mountains. You know, we don't think a whole lot of it. But I'm telling you what, that's what God does. But when man paints a portrait, you know, and he puts it, well, everybody just stands, oh, that's so beautiful. How about what God does? I mean, we ought to be in awe of God. I remember I was reading about Vance Havner one time, and he said this. He said, have you lost the wonder? And boy, I don't know about you, but when I read something like that, I begin to think in my mind, have I lost the wonder? I mean, is God wonderful like He used to be? And I don't think that's a dirty word to use big words like that to describe how good God is. God is wonderful. He is magnificent. He is holy. He is God. And I'm glad that He is. Glad I'm not. I bet you're tickled to death I'm not either. I mean, man, you know, somebody don't, you know, they don't like me. If I was God, you know, I'd say, okay, you're gone. I mean, bolt of lightning, buddy, you're gone. I mean, how cool would that be? No enemies, you know. I'm God. Aren't you glad that God has grace and mercy, long suffering? How many times has God handed out some long suffering to you over the years? He says, you know what, I'm just going to give him just a little bit of long suffering today. I'm going to strike him down like I should today for being an idiot and doing something stupid. I'm glad God's good. Now, I want you to notice down in verses 1 and 2, I want you to notice that David experienced some delay. And, unfortunately, as we may say it, there will be some delay in the Christian life. I heard a fellow say one time, he said, you know, God may not always show up on time. And I thought to myself, buddy, you're wrong. God always shows up on time. He may not show up on your time, but God always shows up on time. I mean, and every time He shows up, it's the time that He's got everything worked out so that He can work on you. You see, it's not our timetable, it's God's timetable. He's trying to create in us an excellent spirit so that He can use us to do something for Him. Whenever, you know, when we first get saved and maybe we're called to preach or called to ministry, or maybe you just start attending church or something like that and you want to do something great for God, you know, it may take years for God to develop you. I mean, Paul, he says that He counted me faithful, enabled me, and put me in the ministry. You and I, we may not get that enabling and that putting in quite as fast as Paul did. Paul was enabled right away. He was ready to go. You and I, we may have to wait just a little while on God to work on us a little bit before He can use us. There's too many young guys, they get out of Bible school or whatever it may be, they're excited, they want to do something for Jesus, you know, and I'm all for it, you know, they got zeal, they ain't got much knowledge, but they've got some zeal, they want to do something for the Lord, they go to the mission field or what, thank God they go, they've got enough zeal to go. I'm going to tell you, a 20-year-old, he's got a better chance on the mission field than a 60-year-old, because I don't know about you, but it'd be tough for me to move to China. I mean, it'd be tough to move to Africa. I'm not saying I'm stuck where I'm at, but, you know, it's tough to move overseas. But a young fellow, you know, he just said, hey, I can go. I ain't got no brain, but I'll go. I don't know what I'm doing, but I got God, I'll go. You know, the older we get and the more we kind of slow down, we may not have the zeal that we used to have. We just don't have the tendency to get up and go like we used to. Sometimes it's better to wait on God than it is just jump out there and run in traffic and get run over. Sometimes it's better to wait on God and see what God's going to do. I see a lot of people nowadays, it seems like they get jealous. If they don't get picked to do this or they don't get picked to do that, they're too much in a rush. They're in too big of a hurry. You got to patiently wait on the Lord. Now, I didn't say it was easy, but it's something we all need to do. David was wondering. Look down at verse 1. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. See what God can do in His time? God can bring you up in His time. I remember one time when I was a young man, I was about 6 years old, and I had gone down the street from where my mom was. I guess I was a little older than six, maybe seven or eight, something like that, you know. And I'd gone down the street, and I was playing with a ball in the street or something, you know. I think I had a stick and maybe a can or something. I don't know. I didn't have Tonka toys because we were so poor, you know. We ate off dirt floor and, you know, all this stuff. But anyway, I was going down the road there, and there's this little girl down there. She was a little older than me. She was probably 4 or 5 years older than me. She said, "Hey," she said, "I've got something in my basement I want you to see." I guess I was kind of naive. I don't know. And I said, "Okay, I'll go look at it." So when I got in there, she locks the door. I was thinking to myself, you know, what in here is so important you got to lock the door after we get in here? And she said, "Well, now I've abducted you." And she said, there's some guys that are coming to get you." And she said, "They're going to take you away and you're never going to see your parents again." Maybe I was 5 or 6, you know, because if I was 8 or 9, I'd have hit that girl, you know. But I was sitting there saying to myself, they're going to take me away. I'm never going to see my parents again, you know. And so she said, "Sit up there on that mattress." I said, "Why do I need to sit on the mattress? Sit up on the mattress. Here they come." So I got up on the mattress, you know, and she said, "They're going to come and take you away unless you kiss me." I said, "I ain't kissing no girl." No way, buddy. Girl's got cooties. I ain't kissing no girl. It ain't happening. She said, "Well, if you don't kiss me, then they're going to come get you and take you away." So I just waited. I thought, okay, let's see if they come take me away. So I sit up on the mattress. It's kind of comfortable after a while, you know. So sure enough, I hear this truck coming. Oh, man, they're going to come get me and take me away. So in a minute, I see her scurry up the steps. Well, when she did, man, I bolted for the door. I unlocked that door. I said to myself, if that door ain't unlocked, I am going to run through it. So I unlocked the door, and I run out the door, you know, and it was her daddy. And so I passed her and her daddy heading out the thing. I went home, and I told my mother. I said, "Mom," I said, "this woman down the street, this girl down the street, she abducted me. She said they're going to come get me and take me away, and I would never go see you again." She said, "You're crazy, boy." I said, "No, Mom. No, I'm telling you the truth." "No, you're crazy. You're crazy." You know what? I waited just long enough to get out of that bad situation, and I never, ever went back to that place again. Sometimes you got to wait. You don't just rush through and do things. Sometimes you got to wait. You got to wait on God to do something. You don't want to just rush into something and think you can do it on your own, because you're never going to be able to do things on your own. You need the Lord. He experienced mire. He experienced misery. You know what? The mire and the misery, to me, is kind of like quicksand. The more you, I guess I got that picture in my head, the more you squirm around, the deeper you get. And you can't pull yourself out. And the more trouble you have, it seems like you just sink further and further. And you're wiggling. You're trying to fix it yourself. You're trying to get out of it yourself. And maybe sometimes it's just time to just let go and say, "Lord, you're going to have to help me. I'm never going to get out of this situation. And God, if you don't do something, I'm not going to make it." It was a helpless situation. It was a hopeless situation. Without strength, without stamina, without standing. He was waiting. Look, whenever you're waiting, you know, sometimes folks doubt when they're waiting. They're not real sure if God's around the bend and He's going to come help you out. You doubt sometimes when you're waiting. Don't doubt God. He'll be there. He'll be right on time when He's supposed to be there. Some depart when they're waiting on God. Now, to me, that's a sad thing. I've seen a lot of folks, they have trouble, and it seems like the first thing they want to do is get out. There's a lady up in the church where we're going. She fell about, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago or something like that. And every service, she hasn't missed but one service whenever she was in the hospital. And that Wednesday night, she started coming to church, and she was on a walker, and she'd come in there, and she'd sit down, and she'd make it for that service, and then she'd have to get up and go right back out. And I mean, that lady hasn't missed one service. Do you know there's a lot of people, whenever trouble happened to them, they use that as an excuse to get away from the Lord? Whenever trouble happens, it's not time to get away from God. It's time to get close to God. It's not time to move away. It's time to move close. Don't get away from Him whenever you have those troubles. Consider your time whenever you're waiting on God. How about Joseph? I was talking to a fellow the other day. They said, "Look at how Joseph turned out." And I said, "Yeah, but look at all the years it took him to get there."
He had that dream. He had that promise. But it took some time to get there. I'm telling you, if you wait on the Lord will take care of all those things and you'll get to the place where God wants you to be when He wants you to be there. David experienced some delay. Look down to verse 1 and 2 again. David experienced some deliverance. We learn what lesson whenever we talk about waiting on the Lord, we learn what lesson from that. We learn that it is worth it to wait on God. It's worth it every time to wait on God. He says in verse 1, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. I don't know about you, but I like it whenever God hears my cry. I'm glad that I've got a God that I can turn to and pray, and that He will hear me. I mean, Muhammad's not going to hear you. But Jesus Christ will. In David's experience of deliverance, God did four things for him. Look down at verse 1. He leans in for a better perspective. He inclines. I'm glad whenever God leans in and He sees my trouble, and I'm glad when He leans in and He can hear me and He gets real close to me. Don't you like it whenever God shows up? Whenever you've had some, maybe you've experienced some problems, some trouble, but don't you like it whenever God shows up and He just blows through and He just gives you a little bit of handfuls on purpose and He helps you out? Don't you like it whenever God does that? Now, He may not do it every service, but every once in a while, whenever He does. Last Sunday night, we just had a really good church service. I mean, it wasn't one of them things where everything was just shouting out or something. You could just feel the presence of the Lord. Just things were just good, you know. I sure do like it whenever God moves in like that and He gets real close to you and He just comforts your heart. And it's really unexplainable, but I sure am glad whenever God does those things. I think that maybe there's sometimes whenever we forget that the Lord can do those special little things for us. I think whenever God delivered David, that He captured his attention. And our attention should be directed toward the Lord. God has done so much for us in our lives that it should be our full intention to give Him every bit of our intention in our daily walk for Him. I want to. I'll be honest with you, folks. I'm learning. I'm learning how to be a Christian. I'm learning how to serve the Lord. I don't have it all figured out. I mean, I don't know that we will have it figured out before we leave this life. We do the best we can and we try to serve the Lord. We mess up here, we mess up there. And then you know what we do? We go to the Lord and say, Lord, I messed this up, messed that up. Will You help me, God? Show me what to do the next time so I don't mess these things up, Lord. Help me to get through these things. I'm just learning like You're learning. We're all learning. We're experiencing things as we go along. And we've all experienced some deliverance. I don't know about you, but I like it whenever He hears my cry. God listens to our pleadings. Don't you ever plead with God? You just get along with the Lord and it doesn't have to be loud prayers or anything like that. Just get alone with God and say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to fix this. I don't know how I'm going to change this. I don't know where we're going to do this. I don't know how we're... And just let God take care of those things. You know, sometimes it's okay just to let God handle it. I'm not trying to be, I don't ever want to be mistaken for the modern day Christianity or anything like that. But you know, God surely does need to handle those situations in our lives. But when He does, make sure you give Him credit for it. Look down at verse 2. God lifted us out of the pits, didn't He? It was a horrible pit. Wasn't a good one. It was a horrible one. God lodged us in the right place. He set my feet. He set my feet in the place that I ought to be. And that's the thing I'm looking for. I'm looking for God to set my feet in the place I ought to be. Would it be okay if I just, if I give you my heart for a minute? Look over to Acts chapter 20, if you would. down to verse 10. He says, "And Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." I like it whenever God comes along and he looks at you and he says, don't worry about it, his life's in him. I've got this. I'll take care of this part right here. His life's in him. I remember it was a year ago last Sunday that I left the church up there where I'm at. Maybe you folks know that I left or I didn't leave or whatever, but I left the church. And so God gave me direction, and I believe that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And I struggled with that thing for a while, you know. I was embarrassed what everybody would think or what everybody might, you know, well, Brother Mike, he's done this or he's done that, you know. And I hadn't really done nothing, you know. I just tried to do what the Lord wanted me to do. And I left the church, you know, not really sure what God was going to do. And you know what the Lord did? He set me somewhere. He gave me a place to I could go to church and I could get close to God. And I could pray and read my Bible and study and love Him. He gave me a place. He set my feet. And that's what you and I need. And if you've got a local church, that's what you have. You got a place where God has set your feet. And He's established your goings. He's just taken good care of you. He's helped you out. And He's put you in the right place under good Bible preaching. I mean, good King James Bible preaching. Brother David was talking about from the mountains of North Carolina. I got news for you, folks. The mountains of North Carolina is preaching just not what it used to be. And just because I'm from North Carolina, that don't mean I can preach. If God ain't on it, it ain't going to work anyway. And if the Lord doesn't do something with it, Brother David Walker, probably one of the best preachers and teachers I know of. I mean, there's some good things come out of Florida, too. I mean, we appreciate the fact that used to there was a lot of good preaching come out of there, but that's not the only place that good preaching is anymore. There's several good preachers in Florida that I know. You know what God does? He establishes us. And He establishes us through our heart. And I believe it begins with your heart. And you got to get your heart. You know, there's going to have to be a time outside of salvation whenever you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, He said, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. There's going to have to be a time whenever you just say, Lord, you just take my heart. My heart is yours. You do with it what you want to. And you're going to have to let Him do with you what He wants to do. And you're going to have to allow Him to control you. And whenever He doesn't do for you what you think He ought to do for you, then He's doing it for your own good. And then whenever He does things for you that you can't believe He's doing that for your own good. But you're going to have to let Him have your heart. And quit hanging on to it. And quit giving it to the world. And quit giving it to sports. And quit giving it to racing. And quit giving it to the teen dance. And quit giving it to the schools. And quit giving it to all the junk that the world's got out there. And they try to drag your heart away from God. Don't let the world get your heart. That belongs to God. But you're going to have to determine in yourself to give your heart to the Lord. And you're going to have to let Him have it. I mean, maybe sometime, you know, I've been given good advice over the years. And me and Brother Walker both, we've been blessed to be around some really good men that have given us great advice over the years over some things to do. I was given advice years ago that maybe I ought to go find a place to pray and just stay there a while and get some business done with God. And I know nowadays that's unpopular because nowadays it seems like that nobody in the church house is willing to spend any time with God. And that's the most important time that you have is the time that you spend with God. You know, maybe if you spent time with God, the church service would be just a little bit better. Maybe you spent time with God, maybe the preaching would be just a little bit sweeter. Maybe if you spent time with God, the singing would just mean a little bit more to you. But we're too busy. We got too much going on, and we've kind of pushed God aside. And I got news for you. God's not going to take second place to all the other stuff we got going on in our lives. God wants the preeminence in our lives, and I just believe maybe it's time we ought to give it to Him. Just go to Him and say, Lord, here's my heart. You take it. You do with it what you want to. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Maybe over in Proverbs 16, there ought to be some preparation of the heart. You see, God establishes you, and I believe He uses your heart to establish you. You and I, we need to be established in the Lord. Look down at verse 3. David, he experienced some delight. Singing comes from the joy of experience. Shouting comes from the excitement of deliverance. Are you excited that you've been delivered? Okay, it sure sounded like it. My preacher up there, Brother Boone, he says this. He says, do you love the Lord? You know when everybody say amen, you know? He said, it'll tell your face about it. That's pretty good. That's just down-home country wisdom, you know. So I got up in the choir last week, you know, and I stood up there. And I was like, it's all time. I thought, well, maybe Brother Boone will look up here and see that I have told my face about it. Because I'm pretty tickled. I'm saved. Are you happy you're saved? Yeah. Do you remember whenever God delivered you? Yeah, we used to have a little shout in the church. You know, used to, it wasn't the singing that prompted people to shout. It was the preaching that got people to shout. And they'd get to thinking about what God had done for them along the way, and they'd just stand up and start walking around the church. I remember I went to a church whenever folks, it didn't matter what was going on, they'd just get up, they'd just start shouting and walking around the church. The preacher just keep preaching. It just got good in there. But now we're sophisticated, ain't we? I was hoping somebody would get up and start shouting. You can't even, I've got 10 bucks if somebody will shout. That's sad. 10 bucks don't even get you off your blessed assurance. 20. I'll have to go to, okay, alright. I lost 20, didn't I? It was worth it, Brother Chris. I mean, do you still have some joy of deliverance? Well, you almost sound like it. My goodness. It's a tough crowd, man. Do you have some joy of being delivered? Amen. You know, honest to God, I don't care if you shout, you sing, whatever you do, you just ought to be tickled to death that Jesus Christ delivered you from something. The reasons Christians, they quit shouting, they quit singing, is because they forgot their experience with God. Somewhere along the way. David experienced dependence. Look down in verse 4. I read something that John Phillips wrote. He said, it was David's conviction that sooner or later, God always comes through on the behalf of His own. Look down in verse 4. He says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. You know what David was beginning to do? He was beginning to depend on God. Now, it's one thing to say that we're saved. And thank God we are. But it's another thing to say that we are dependent. I did not say independence. I said depending. It's a totally another thing to depend upon the Lord. I heard my old pastor say years and years ago, and he said it a lot. He said, there ain't no sense in praying for your daily bread when your cupboard is full. But when you get down to one slice of bread and a spoonful of peanut butter, you know, maybe it's time to pray for your daily bread. I thank God for a slice of bread and a spoonful of peanut butter. Because it'll get you through. Sometimes a slice of bread and a spoonful of peanut butter is better than a steak whenever God is in the slice of bread and the spoonful of peanut butter. Because you're dependent on God for your daily sustenance to get you through that day and that day alone, and you're not dependent on Him for anything in the future, just today. Just today, God, help me today. Get me through today. And sometimes that's enough. And you know what I like about it? Is you go the next day, and there's a slice of bread and another spoonful of peanut butter. You know what? I don't want for God to take away my slice of bread and my spoonful of peanut butter. I want to keep the thing. Because every day, I'm getting to see God do something new and real and exciting in my life. We got too many McDonald's Christians, and they're full up on Big Macs, and maybe you ought to get rid of some of that junk and get you a slice of bread and a spoonful of peanut butter. Brother David, we went out to eat today, and he said, Brother Mike, he said, you get anything you want. Boy, that was a mistake, man. I'm telling you, I did. He took us to a steakhouse, and I got me a ribeye, and I told him, I said, I ain't had one for a long time, and man, that thing was delicious. I ate some of them big old hunks of fat, you know, and I mean, the steak just ain't good unless you eat the fat with it, you know. That's what got you to shout. You have got to be kidding me. I will not give you $20. That's sad right there. No chicken finger for you tonight, buddy. I ate that thing, and as I was putting that in my mouth, I was thinking, God, this don't taste no better than a spoonful of peanut butter and a slice of bread, because I'm telling you, when God's in it, it's good. And I'm glad whenever God gets in something, aren't you? David learned to lean on God, but not only that, but David learned to love God. You know, whenever we first get saved, we say, I love the Lord, just because it's what everybody else is saying. You know, you come to church and you meet some old saint, you know, and I like to talk to Brother Hightower, you know, and he still gets excited about the Lord. I mean, what a blessing, man. Been saved all these years and lost some things along the way, you know, and he still loves Jesus. Because he knows that one of these days, all those things that he lost, he's going to get to see them again. And on top of that, it's not just the stuff that he lost, he's going to get to see Jesus. I mean, but you see, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, boy, I'm telling you what, it's going to be a blessing. The first time I lay my eyes on my Savior, and I'm going to get to say, wow, it was worth it all, man. Worth every trial and every mile. It was worth everything that I had to go through. Now getting to the top, it ain't no fun. Up there on the peak, it sure does look good, but sometimes it's rough. But along the way, you know what you do? You begin to love God. I mean, all the other stuff, it just kind of loses its effect and its power, and it just doesn't have that pull on you like it used to, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, I don't know how the transition goes, but all of a sudden, just one day, you just love God. I'm telling you, I have enjoyed being around my wife over the past 3 years. Now, we've been married 32 years. She can't hear this, right? Oh, praise God. Because you know what she's going to say? The only time I've enjoyed being around her is the past 3 years, you know. Well, you said that you only liked me for 3 years. What was wrong with the other 29? Did I do something wrong? What was wrong with the other 29, you know? Hey, it's going to be like this, you know. I've got 8 hours in the car with that woman, you know. It's going to be, well, did I say something wrong? Why? You didn't like it? I mean, I don't know what to do. That's not what I mean. Over the past 3 years, I've seen God do something for her. And you know what she does now? I mean, she's always been kind of like this, but it seems like just one day something clicked. And something, the Lord will do something special for us, you know. And you know what she'll say? She'll say, praise God, that's the answer to prayer. I say, whew. You see, that means more to me than just about anything, folks, to see what God has done for her. I got a halfway decent daughter. I got to say that because she's in here. I really can't I can't go overboard with this thing, you know. I've seen God do something for her. Our pastor, he gives his testimony, you know, he says that he got saved and on a Sunday morning, his mother got saved on Sunday morning, and then his uncle came home and led his daddy to the Lord that Sunday afternoon, and he makes this statement all the time. He said, God gave us a Christian home in one day. It's taken us 33 years. And we're still trying to get a Christian home. Because it seems like there's always something that we need to fix, we need to change. We got something we got to tear down, we got to build it back up. There's always something, it seems like, that we have to do. I mean, it takes some time. But boy, I tell you what, whenever you see your daughter and your wife love God, and you didn't have nothing to do with it. You know what I used to do, Brother David? I'd get on my hands and knees and I'd pray and I'd say, God, fix that woman. Because she had to be broke, I wasn't. You know? God, fix that woman. If you'll just help her, then I can get everything else straightened out. I hope to God none of you have done that. Maybe it's the other way around for you. You know, maybe you're down here, God, fix that ungodly man I'm married to. Maybe y'all be praying, God, fix you.
That's
right. Amen. I had to. I thought I was all spiritual. Not holy. I mean, perfect maybe. Whenever we sing, you know, I tell them the only reason I'm singing with them, I'm just eye candy. Make them look good, you know. But I need to get down on my hands and knees and I say, God, fix me. Because it seems like there's something broke in here. Well, there's a whole lot of business going on with this heart right here that takes place after salvation. And God just keeps working on that, keeps working on it. He's trying to perfect us. He's trying to create in us a right spirit. You know what the Lord wants out of us? He wants us to worship Him. He wants us to worship Him. And if we're broke, He wants us to worship Him. He wants us to love Him. We've got to lean on Him, got to love Him. Do you love Him?
Amen.
You know, it doesn't have to be a shout or anything like that. Just, do you love Him? Do you look for Him in every place? I mean, every time you do something. And it's not, you know, whenever I was in Bible school, I thought, you know, we had to pray for God to show up in all these places and do all this stuff, you know. But now I'm just looking for Him in all those places. I'm trying to keep my heart right with Him, you know. Now I'm just looking for Him everywhere to see what God's doing. It seems like just little handfuls on purpose. And He comes along and He says, here, I got a little something for you. May not always be something big, just a little something. You learn to love Him, you appreciate those little things. There was an old story of a father, he stood on the back porch and he told his little son, he said, listen, he said, you jump to me, he said, I'll catch you. I heard this story, I don't know. I may have heard it from Brother Peacock or Brother Walker, I don't know, but today it's mine, so let me have it. So his father was standing there, you know, he's telling his son, he said, jump, jump, jump. Little boy, he finally worked up enough courage, you know, and he jumps. And the father moves out of the way like this. And he says, see, that's what you get for trusting somebody. Well, there's another story of another father who told his son, he said, hey, son, he said, when I tell you to jump, he said, jump, I'll catch you. And so the little boy, he said, okay, Daddy. So the father, he looked at him, he said, okay, jump. He said, you going to catch me? Yeah, I'm going to catch you. So he jumped, his daddy caught him. One day they were out hiking, and I don't know where it was, but there was a set of rocks there, you know, and the little boy, he's climbing all over the rocks, and he was going along, and all of a sudden the little boy, he just leaps, and he says, Daddy! And his daddy, he's scrambling, you know, he's doing his best, you know, to get under him and try to find him and get a hold of him, you know, and all of a sudden he catches him and they both fall to the ground, you know, and he looks at him and he says, "Why did you do that? What were you thinking?" He said, "You're my daddy. And you could catch me." You see, that's the kind of God we have. God asks us to trust Him. Whenever He does, I promise you, He's not going to move out of the way and let you fall. He'll catch you. If He says jump, He'll be there with you. Don't ever get to the place in your Christian walk that you're not leaning on God and you forget to love God. Have you experienced some things? I have experienced. You've experienced some things in your Christian walk. Are you dependent on God? Have you seen some deliverance? Maybe there's just a little bit of something broken here that you might need to get fixed. Let's all pray.